We're turning our Bibles this evening to the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 9. The Gospel of Mark, the chapter 9, and we're going to break into the chapter at the verse 17. Mark 9. Verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And of time it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and come out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his truth to each of our hearts this evening. Let's just bow briefly in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the reading of thy word. We thank thee that thou art the omnipotent God, the one who laughs at impossibilities. We rejoice, Lord, that not only dost thou make the physically dead to live during thine earthly ministry, but Lord, we rejoice that thou art doing even far greater miracles in our day, that thou art making those who are spiritually dead to live. We thank thee tonight there is power, wonder working, sin destroying power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for thy word, and we cry to thee, O God, this evening, help thou our unbelief. As we turn to thy word, bring to my mind what thou would have us to say. And Lord, write thy truth upon our hearts, even this evening. Oh, that we might hear, the voice of the Lord, and then that we might be able to cry with authority in the place of prayer even this evening. This we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. The Gospel of Mark chapter 9, I want to draw your attention to that verse 29. And he that is the Lord said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In the opening words of this chapter, we find the Lord separating Peter, James, and John from the rest of the disciples, taking them up into a mountain. Tragically, they fell asleep. However, while they were dozing on the mountainside, the other disciples were busy down in the valley, casting out demons. A father brought his son to them. He was no ordinary child, but he had been possessed by a demon for some considerable time. By he taking away the young lad's ability to hear and to speak, he filled him with suicidal thoughts and causing him to foam at the mouth, his body becoming stiff as a board. He then cast him into burning and raging flames. At other times he threw him into water and he sought to drown him. And his father, distraught and knowing not what way to turn, he finally turned to the disciples. They, seeing him bound and miserable, they then turned to their own techniques. Going through the motions of exorcism, they, to the delight of their enemies and to the sorrow of this child's father, achieved nothing. They were unable to break the chains that bound this young man. They were unable to set him free so that he could enjoy the peace even of life. And the disciples, discouraged and cast down, they then, coming before the Lord, they asked in verse 29, why could not we cast him out? And is not the lament of these disciples often the lament of the church? Is it not often even the lament of our own hearts? In the face of problems, we so often are powerless. Indeed, Paul lamented in Romans chapter 7 and the verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hear, that do I. And he lamented his lack of power to do that which he ought to do. And he lamented his lack of power not to do the things that he should not have done. You see, in ourselves, we are powerless. We need help. We need the power of God to infill us. We need him to take us up. We need him to energize us. Now we need his power. And so I want this evening, just for a short time, to consider why. Why could these disciples not cast out this unclean spirit? I think firstly it was because they had no belief in the Savior. This father explaining how he had brought his son to the disciples, the Lord said in verse 19, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? When we go forward into verse 21, we discover that this was no easy case. This lad had been possessed from childhood. In fact, the particular word that is used here is used in John 16 and verse 21 to speak of a newly born infant. And it seems that this lad had been possessed by this demon from his earliest days. In other words, he had never known freedom. He had never known joy in his life. However, it was not the length of his possession that now hindered the disciples casting him out, but rather it was due to a lack of faith. Indeed, emphasizing this, the father coming to the Lord, he said, if thou canst do anything. And in answering him, the Lord reminded him in verse 23 that the if was not with him, but rather the if was with them. It was not if he might set the boy free. It was if they could believe. You see, it was not the demon's power that hindered the disciples in casting this demon out, but it was their lack of faith. You see, without faith, we are doomed to failure. We will never accomplish anything. Indeed, Matthew, recording this same incident in his gospel and giving us a few more details, he told the disciples in chapter 17 and the verse 20 that the reason they could not cast out this unclean spirit, and I quote, because of your unbelief. He then went on to say, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. By these words, he was not indicating that they could remove actual mountains. The phrase removing mountains was a proverbial saying, simply indicating that which was impossible. And as such, he was indicating here that even if they had small faith, the faith is the size of a mustard seed, which was one of the smallest seeds, they would be able to do the impossible. Faith is the key to victory. Without it, every mountain will remain where it is, and every valley will remain empty. Charles Wesley used to say, "If the Lord would give me wings, I would fly." My brother John went much farther, and he said, "If the Lord bid me fly, I should trust him for the wings." You see, he had real faith. He trusted. He knew that God, if he wanted him to do that, he would supply the ability. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, commenting on this incident, he said, "If I have no faith, God may honor his word, but certainly he will not honor me." In other words, God may, despite our lack of faith, answer our prayers. He may, despite our lack of faith, use us to set sinners free, but he will not honor us. You see, if we are to have power, if we are to see the captive set free, we need to believe. Like George Mueller, we must not only believe that God is able to provide the food for the orphans, but we need to set the table for the food. You see, faith is not believing that God can. Faith is believing that God will. In regard to our upcoming mission, we need to believe. We need to believe that God can save sinners. We need to believe that God can bring them into the house of God. But more than that, we need to believe that God will do it. We need to believe that God will bring them in. We need to believe that God will set them free. You see, without faith, we're powerless. Without faith, we can do nothing. And if you are full of doubts, then follow the example of this father. By in verse 24, he prayed, "Help thou mine unbelief." It's through prayer that our unbelief is even slain. Not only was there no belief in the Savior, but I think there was no burden for the sinner. The Lord, pressing his case home, he said in verse 29, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." He reminded them that if they were to see such captives set free, then they needed not only to pray, but they also needed to fast. In Bible times, fasting was practiced both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It was an outward expression of an inward fervency. For example, such was Hannah's desire for a son that coming into the courts of the temple to pray, she refused to eat any food. In other words, she desired to have a son more than she desired her food. And as such, in failing to fast over this young lad, we see that while they were no doubt concerned for his physical condition and his spiritual condition, their concern for him was less than their concern for their own well-being. You see, these men, they had no real burden. They had no real concern, for this young, possessed lad. And where there is no real concern for sinners, there will be no real conversion of sinners. Our efforts will fail. Indeed, reminding the Jews why their prayers had not been answered, James said in chapter 5, in the verse 16 of his epistle, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The word fervent there means to stretch or to agonize. In other words, he was telling them, without this agonizing of souls, they would not avail. Their prayers would fail. You see, without a burden for the sinner, will never see the breaking of the sinner. They will remain in their bondage. In June 1865, Hudson Taylor walked out of a church service being held in Brighton. explaining his actions, he later that night wrote in his diary, unable to bear the sight of a congregation of 1,000 or more Christian people rejoicing in their own security while millions were perishing for lack of knowledge. I wandered out on the sands alone in great spiritual agony. And in that moment, being concerned for those who were perishing across the other side of the world, he walked out of that meeting and he walked along the sands and he lifted up his voice and he began to pray. And he asked God, he said, Lord, send 24 skillful laborers to go to the land of China. His prayer being answered, the inland China mission was commenced. And being burdened, he saw many gloriously see him. And you know, if we're going to see the captives set free, we need that burden, we need that agony, we need that concern in our hearts. The great evangelist Roland Hill, on one occasion, being described as a madman by the people of Watton, he said, while I was passing down the road, I saw a gravel pit cave in. I hastened to the rescue, shouting for help so that the people a mile away could hear me. No one called me a madman. But when I see destruction about to fall upon sinners and cry aloud, they say, I am beside myself. And you know, believer, until we have that burden, that concern that Roland Hill had, that Hudson Taylor had, we will never set the captives free. We need to have an earnestness. We need to have a concern for them. And the reason partly that the disciples could not cast out this demon was that they didn't have that concern. They didn't have that earnestness. Not only that, but I think there was no beseeching of the sovereign. Their ministry failing, read in verse 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In Matthew chapter 10, we find the Lord there commissioning his disciples, sending them to the lost house of Israel. He gave them power to cast out demons and to heal all manner of sickness. Exercising this power, you read through the Gospels and you'll find them performing many great miracles. However, now, imagining that prayer was no longer necessary, their power was diminished. No matter what they tried with this young man, they were unable to break the grasp of the demon. They were unable to drive him out. You see, the failure was not in the power that God had given them, but the failure, as Christ identifies here, was prayer. They failed to pray. You see, where there is no prayer, there will be no power. Prayerlessness drains the soul. Indeed, realizing this, the Lord instructing his disciples, he said in Luke 24, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. These men had sat at the feet of Christ. They had learned from the Master himself. And yet, they were not ready to go. They needed to wait. They needed to wait in prayer. And it was when they waited that the heavens were open and the Spirit of God descended. And receiving power, they going forth and preaching, multitudes were gloriously and wondrously converted. You see, where there is no real passionate prayer, there will be no power. The one can't exist without the other. I was reading recently of a minister in Brooklyn, and he was so busy pastoring a growing congregation that he failed to realize that his own daughter was going off the road, off the rails. Leaving home, she very quickly went down into the depths of sin. He was so broken over the matter that he said that he could hardly face his congregation on a Sunday. He used to pray, Lord, how can I minister to these people when I need my own soul ministered to? He gave more and more time to pray for his daughter, and he shed many tears. One night in the church prayer meeting, someone came and they gave to him a note. And on the note it was, Pastor, stop the prayer meeting and pray for your daughter. He said if it had been anybody else had given him that note, he said, I would have torn it up and I would have thrown it aside. But because of the person that gave it to me, he said, I stopped the prayer meeting. I went to pray for my daughter. He said, I prayed for 36 hours. And he said, as I prayed without eating, without break, he said, I then heard my wife cry, Jim, come down. When he came down the stairs, he saw his daughter sitting on the floor, rocking herself backwards and forwards, and saying, who was praying for me on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock? And that night, that young girl got saved. And you know, if we are to see sinners set free, if we're to see the power of Satan that binds and individuals broken, we need to pray. We need to cry unto God with all of our hearts. You see, we could organize, we could have a gospel mission, but if we don't pray with brokenness, we don't pray with faith, we don't pray with expectation, nothing will happen. And the Lord, seeing these disciples powerless, a young man powerless to set them free, he told them pray. Told them to pray. Lastly, I want you to notice also that there had been no banishing of their sin. Because look at verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What is fasting? Fasting is a denying of the flesh. If there is to be a curtailing of Satan, then there needs to be a curtailing of the flesh. A denying of the old man. Indeed, Paul instructing his readers, or instructing Titus, he said in Titus 2, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And he reminded them here that there needed to be a denying of ungodliness. There needed to be a denying of the flesh. Or worldly lusts. Without purity, we're without power. We will become powerless like these disciples were to set men and women free. Indeed, the children of Israel tolerating sin in their camp. What happened? They organized their armies. They went up against the city of Ai. But they were defeated. They were humiliated. They were driven back. And while the unclean thing is bad, to bury it as Achan did is even worse. It will bring sure and it will bring sudden defeat. And if we're not to be defeated, we need to pray, we need to believe, we need to cry, Lord, help thou mine unbelief, but we also need to deny the flesh. Deny the flesh. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. The Lord told his disciples to come apart and to relax for a little time. But you know, if all we ever do is relax, so relaxed, so laid back, we never pray, we never labor for the Lord, then we will never accomplish anything in life. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And as well as putting away sin, there needs to be a denying of the flesh, a denying of those desires, and the living in holiness even for the Lord. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, a great many people are thinking that we need new measures, that we need new churches, that we need new organs, and that we need new choirs. And all these things. That is not what the Church of God needs today. It is the old power the apostles had. That is what we want, and if we have that in our churches, then there will be new life. That's what these disciples were missing. Here they were. My father brought his son full of hope, full of excitement. He had heard of the miracles. They will set them free. But they were powerless. They were powerless. And we live in a world today, and it is a world that is hard, and yet it's a world that's seeking. They don't know what they're seeking, but they are seeking. They're searching. They're searching for peace. They're searching for something to fill their emptiness. But if we're not to be found lacking, then we need to believe. We need to be in the Scriptures. We need to be in prayer, strengthening our faith. We need to have that burden for souls. We need to deny the flesh. We need to hold on to the horns of the altar. I'm sure if we're all honest, we'll say we've been where the disciples were. And yet there is a remedy. If only we seek Him, and seek Him with all of our hearts. My, there is power, Pentecostal power, even as we were singing about a little earlier. Oh, that we might know that power and that we might experience that power, even in the days that lie ahead. May God write His word even upon our hearts.